Let's go to Mark chapter number 4. Mark chapter 4. Good to see all of you here this evening. Mark chapter number 4. We'll continue our studies through the book of Mark. Mark chapter number 4 tonight. We'll be in verse number 1 and we'll read down through verse number 20. Good to have all of you back. Choir, you did a good job at practice today. Be in prayer about Wednesday night with the Discover Kid presentation. Our Wednesday night bus routes have been growing very steadily for the Discovery Clubs and the youth zones. So be in prayer about that. And don't forget, if you did not bring your gift this morning for the angel tree, please see Bentley. And if it comes to the point that you just something happened, you know, we don't know everybody's story, and you just can't, it's fine. But let us know so we can make preparations to have that replaced. And if you're just running late on it, we understand that. Sometimes that happens. Just communicate with us. That's what we're asking. Let us know what's your deal, when you're going to do it, if you're going to do it, if you can't, whatever that is, and we'll work it out. God's always faithful and always has been. Just communication's the key. And sometimes, especially men, well, I tell you, we don't communicate well at all, especially with each other or with our wives. We hear things, but it's not what they're saying, especially with that. So communication's the key, and it's a skill we all have to work at. We really do. We have to work at communicating. After church, please, some of you men that's strong and well able, help us move some of this stuff out of the way. And we also need the platform put in over the baptistry. They've got an angel that's going to be on the baptistry there. So if we can have that platform put in, it's a big frame up in here. So if we can get some guys to help us with that, that'd be a blessing. Good to have Brother Clark and his wife back with us. Thank you all for being here and hope you enjoy your week. Brother Dwayne, good to see you. Tuesday morning, Brother Dwayne's going to be trying to print. So if you're available to be in work in the print shop, if you're off work or you're retired or whatever the case may be, Brother Dwayne could use some help Tuesday morning. About what, 8:30, 9 o'clock, Brother Dwayne? We'll start about 8:30, 9 o'clock. Right over here in the print shop building. We'll try to finish up that New Testament, Spanish New Testament, that we're working on. So if you are available and can give a hand, we'd love to have it. Be fresh coffee there waiting on you. We'll be. So come and help if you can. Mark chapter number 5, verse 1. Mark 5 and Mark 4, verse 1. Mark chapter 4 and verse 1. Sorry about that. Here we go. We're going to read down to verse 20, and then we're going to talk about a parable tonight. I've enjoyed the verse-by-verse study of the book of Mark. And he began again to teach by the seaside. And there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea. And the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, "Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up." Verse 5. "Some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, and some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Verse 10. And when he was alone, they that were with about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, Know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? Verse 14, the sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterwards, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entered in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Verse 20, and these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, some 100. And these parables reveals to us the kind of results that we will see when we are faithful to sow the word of God into the hearts of men. And I tell you, we are a nation that is a famine for the word of God. It's just not there. Where we are in the spiritual realm of our nation, unfortunately, it has spilled over into many of our churches. Our churches have no eager or hunger or thirst for the word of God. And it shows in the results of our preaching that comes from the pulpits across America, that we'd rather tickle ears and scratch people's necks than preach the Word of God to them and teach the Word of God to them. Now listen, the results will not always be good. We just read it. It's not going to always be good. Not everybody's going to receive what is presented. Whether you are a layperson on the street at work, at Walmart, or at the gas station, talking with family members, talking with a friend, when you sow the Word of God, dear friend, listen, it's not going to always be received. It's not going to always be accepted. It's going to be that there will be some that hear, some hear gladly, some that shake it off, some that just don't care. There'll be those, though, that will receive the Word of God. It'll take root and bring forth fruit, and it shall remain. We've got to get to the point that we are just faithful to sow the word and leave the results up to God. I believe that's where a lot of pressure comes upon men of God. Results. We got to see it. We got to be motivated by the results that we see, and we get our minds off of eternity. We get our minds off the fact that it's our job to water, and it's our job to sow, but it's God's job to bring the increase. I'll be honest with you, sometimes it's a discouraging thing. You preach. I told you about that one illustration where the pastor preached the same text, the same message, about 19 times in his church. And finally, one of the men in the church said, they thought maybe he was getting a little senile or something. Said, look, Pastor, you preached that one already like 19 times. He said, I'll quit when you get it. sometimes that's how it is. Like, Lord, I've covered that. I've went over that. We've studied that. Are we ever going to grasp it? Are we ever going to get a hold to it? And so we got to get away from just looking at the results that we are hungry for, because to be honest, nobody that spends time sowing the Word of God doesn't have a desire for it to be received well. We do it because we are commanded. We do it because we love people, because God loved them and He first loved us. And that love was shed abroad in our hearts. And so we want to be Christ-like. And so we share the Word of God. We sow the Word of God. And so we desire for some results. But the only eternity is going to really tell what we have done. We just have to be faithful. It's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. That's what God requires here. Now, the place where he's teaching that, he taught there, he's along the sea, and he's using parables there in verse number 1. In verse number 2, he explains that he began to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship, and he sent into the sea, and the whole multitudes was by the sea of the land, and he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine. Now, a parable is simple. I'll put it as simple as you can go into the dictionary, and I'll tell you, it's a long thing. But a parable is simply this. It's earthly stories used to teach heavenly things. It's very simple. Now, here I'll give you an example of what the dictionary said. It says the same thing, what I said. It got kind of way over my head. Matter of fact, I can't even pronounce one of these words that's using. I might have to spell it. In the dictionary, it says the meaning of a parable. Number one definition, a placing of anything by the side of another, a juxtaposition. I don't even know what that in the world is. I have to go look up that word. But it says a placing of one thing by the side of another, a juxtaposition. Now I'm going to spell that for you so you can look it up. Juxtaposition. As of ships in the battle, a metaphor. A comparing of comparisons of one thing with another, likeness or similitude, an example by which a doctrine or precept is illustrated, a narrative fictitious but agreeable to the laws and usage of human life, by which either the duties of men or of the things of God, particularly the nature of the history of God's kingdom, and particularly figuratively portrayed. Simple. Earthly things used to teach heavenly things. I mean, sometimes we get educated beyond our intelligence. We get so educated, if I was to stand up here and just try to pretend like I knew what that was saying, some of you would be scratching your head and say, Pastor, we know you don't know what all that means. Be simple. You know the old thing, kiss, keep it simple, smart aleck. Yeah, I know y'all do it. Keep it simple, stupid. Jesus is teaching a parable here, and he's using earthly things. Everybody in this region knew what a farmer was. They knew what farms are. They knew how the farmer worked. And so Jesus was taking this. Now, one thing you need to know about parables was never used in the church epistles. Matter of fact, the last parable that you'll find in the Bible is John chapter number 10, verse number 6. But in the church epistles, it's not used. There's no parables used. You go back to the parable, the epistles, the writings of Paul, and you find none. Jesus used them to teach. And sometimes he used them, as we read here, to hide truths. Isn't that amazing? That's what he said there. Uh-oh, y'all don't believe me. We've got to look again. Let's find where Jesus was talking about. Down around verse number 11. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are not in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven. There's a couple of reasons why men and women have a hard time understanding the Word of God. First thing is you're lost. It's a spiritual book, dear friend. You've got to know the Savior. You've got to know the author. The author must live it to you. And he teaches us. He gives us an unction. And he shows us spiritual things. So if you're saved and you're kind of difficult to understanding, it could be another area. Either you're being carnal-minded and you're not putting enough effort into studying the Word of God, rightly dividing it, or there's sin in your life, and God's dealing with you in a certain area of sin, and he's not going to teach you beyond that area, or he's revealed truth to you, and you refuse to obey. Why should he show you any more if you're not going to obey? I've never in my life heard a bunch of folks in this era which we live in, they want special revelation. Brother Jim, they want God to speak to them personally so that they can get down into the deep Christian life, but 66 books they will not heed. I'm just going to be honest with you as I can and kind as I can, dear friend. If you're not obeying written scripture, written word, and word that has been presented and preserved and forever settled, God is not going to speak down into your heart with some special revelation so you can be spiritual above all others. The book is profound. We need to be a generation that's biblically sound, hungry and thirsty after the Word of God. After the Word that it may be hid in our hearts that we might not sin against God. And He's there by the sea and there. And the Bible says, this is an amazing scripture right here, a portion of scripture, chapter 4 and verse 1 of Mark. It says, and he began again to teach. I'm going to ask you to pray for your pastor. Now listen, I love preaching, but we can't get so much and beyond the preaching of the Word of God that the preaching is not teaching. Right. And he again began to teach. He left us a command, dear friend. I'm just going to be honest. Go back to Matthew. Hold your place there. Go to Matthew. He gave us a command, and I believe in many areas of our churches today, we are literally failing at this command. Matthew chapter 28. Now I'm for preaching. We need, but the foolish of preaching. The power of God is shown, and the Holy Ghost of God convicts and brings men to salvation. But we're failing at this teaching. That's why you have this parable here. Matthew chapter 28, verse number 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power was given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. What's that? 20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Go to Acts chapter number 1. Acts chapter 1. Hold your place in Mark, because we're coming right back there. Acts chapter number 1. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Acts chapter number 1. The Bible says there in Acts chapter number 1, verse number 1, the former treaties have I made, O Theophilus. Well, I'm glad my son's what named Theophilus. I get tongue twisted with Benjamin. All that Jesus began both to do and what? Teach. And he began again to teach. Lessons take a little while, teachers, to be taught. And I'm going to be honest with you. The best lessons that are learned are caught because you've walked the walk. Jesus began to both do and teach. Begin to both do and teach. He was in that ship. He began to speak. They gathered around him. And they were there at the shore for a reason. What were they for? They were there to hear Jesus. Listen, make sure we understand something, that when we are presenting and sowing the Word of God, it is not about our presentation, our style, our charisma, our characteristics, our character. It's all about Jesus. He says, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me. Now listen, it's got to be about Jesus. And so Jesus was there, he got in the ship. They came for a purpose. Their purpose was to hear him, and he began to teach them. And guess what it says? He began to teach them. Verse 2. And he taught them many things by parables and said unto them in his doctrine. Dear friend, if you get to the point in your Christian life where you'd rather hear poems and ghost stories and and hunting stories and fishing stories than you would about the doctrines and teachings of the Bible. You have stepped off into a carnal mind once again. We've got to get to the point where we walk spiritually, that we desire the teachings of the Word of God. And we're going to see as he sowed, and as his sower sowed, that there were some things that took place here. Now, many scriptures reveal the importance of sound doctrine, like 1 Timothy 4:13. Till I come, give attendance to reading, exhortation to what? To doctrine. 1 Timothy 4:16, the Bible says, take heed unto yourselves, unto thyself, unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. 2 Timothy 4:3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Titus 2:1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine.
Amen.
Jesus began to both teach. He used parables. But the parables directed people to spiritual things. There's nothing wrong with illustrations. But we can't just fill in a spot. The illustration must drive home the doctrine. The illustration, the story, the picture. You know, sometimes I bring the kids up here. Two Sundays ago, I brought the little girls up here. And to just get you to understand about Mary, I wanted you to hear those little girls. And it was about the life of that age and the things they were thinking. I didn't just bring them up here to bring them up, although they're very pretty, very gentle, kind young girls. You know, much better to see them than me any day. But there was a purpose behind the picture story. And Jesus began to both teach, and he showed them, he used these parables to teach them. There was the wayside hearers, there was the stony ground hearers, there were the thorny ground hearers, and there were the good ground hearers. I wonder which one are we tonight. I wonder which one we would be. There's a mystery here as we the sower began to sow. The thing about it is, dear friend, somebody may look spiritual, and you might sow out there, and you think, man, I'm going to sow to this person. They're going to receive. It's going to be some good ground. They're going to bring forth fruit. They could be that thorny ground Christian. They could be that stony ground Christian. Because carnality drives a hard heart. It drives a hard heart. Look with me in verse number, back over in Mark chapter number 4. There in verse number 14, the sower and the sower soweth the word. That's the importance. That's our job. That's what we're to do. We're to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the word of God, share it into the hearts. When somebody's grieving, there's scripture that brings comfort. When somebody's sad, there's scriptures that brings joy. When somebody is in debt, there's scriptures that gives them guidance on how to come out of debt. Sickness in the family, there's scriptures there that shows that we have a great physician, and there's scriptures there. And the Word of God is what must and needfully needs to be shared in the life of those. And in verse 15 it says, there are they by the wayside where the Word is sown. Dear friend, that's why we encourage you, take these tracts. The wayside, that's lost people all out there. That's why we encourage you to come to visitation. You know, we had the parade. We passed out all those tracts, and you know, the mailers. Some of you still working on mailers, getting them into some of these homes and places that we can't get. I don't know how many visitors we get come here. We can't even follow up with them outside of a letter because they live in a gated prison house down here, Spring Lake. You know, where some of you folks live. I mean, it's restricted. I'm telling you, you can't even get through there. Unless you have an appointment, invitation, and then they tell you, you can't go to this house or that house. You've got to go strictly to the one that invited you in. This is the wayside. We've got to be faithful at it. That's why we keep all those tracts and these invitations. Get them out. Keep them with you. Because we've got to sow. Dear friend, we can sow out 10,000 and may not get but 20 visitors. You say, preacher, is that worth it? I wonder if you got saved out of that 10,000 would be worth it.
Amen.
Now, we want to put a little accountability, put the pencil to it and add it up. Well, this ain't worth it. Is being obedient to Christ worth it? He said, go into all the world. He said in Acts 1:8 that we'd be witnesses in where? Jerusalem, which is what? Our neighborhood. In Judea, which is our county. In Samaria, our state or our country. And to the uttermost parts of the world. That's why we have a mission program. That's why we don't hang these letters back here and send these folks money just to fill a spot on the wall. It's because we're trying to be obedient to Scripture and to be obedient to Christ. And how are you going to know to pray for them? Stop by, read those letters, see what's going on. Take time to write them a letter. Send them. I think one of the Sunday school classes sent some letters to some of the kids of our missionaries. And that's what we're doing. Stay communicated. Contact with them. Because they are our outreach in the uttermost parts of the world. But we are responsible for our neighborhood. Got to be faithful at it. You got to sow. The Bible says there that as soon as we sow, immediately. You see how fast Satan works? Immediately. I posted something the other day on Facebook that said this. How in the world, it didn't say it back, so this is me talking, but I'll try to say it how it said it. If I can remember. No, I can't. How in the world can we, as part-time Christians, defeat a full-time Satan? Immediately, Satan came and he's taken away the word that was sown in their hearts. That's why we have to be faithful, because he is there immediately. Just read, he just come by just digging it out. Convincing them they have no need for a Savior. He don't want them to go to heaven. There's no need. But dear friend, there is those in this group that the Lord Jesus Christ will draw out of that lost state, and they will be converted, they will get saved, and they will have opportunity to grow if we choose to invest into their lives by teaching. We've got to teach. Got to spend time with them. You've got to do it. And I'll tell you, I fail at this area. Just be honest with you, I do. We got to just that one-on-one. He had multitudes gathered around him in the beginning of this chapter, didn't he, Jesus? He was in so many multitudes, he got in a ship so he could preach. What did it say there in verse number 13, I believe it is? And he said unto them, no, it's a little bit different. Oh, verse 10. And when he was alone, it went for multitudes, and when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12. So you had the 12, and there was some more, but it wasn't multitudes anymore, was it? And then you study the life of Christ, and there's the 12, and one of them is lost, but he spent a lot of time with just 3. And at the end of it all, said and done, these that have betrayed him, these that cursed and denied him, was used by God to turn the world upside down. So, the multitudes are there. The word was sown. Even when Jesus preached, there was only a few left around. That's how it works. But immediately the devil was there. Then verse 16, these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure. But for a time afterward, when affliction or persecution arise, for the word's sake, listen to what it says, for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. This reminds me of the society of Christians that we live here today that are so roped into music. Music drives everything. They would spend hours upon hours upon hours upon hours upon hours listening to music and not spend one moment reading the Word of God. They wonder why they're shallow. May I help you for a moment? I love music. But music is written by men and not inspired by the breath of God.
That's right.
Oh, Lord, I touched that funny bone, Brother James. Immediately they're offended. My favorite song didn't say that was bad. What the world's a preacher talking about? God's word overrides any song. And I don't care what style you're listening to. Country, gospel, round mouth, classic, gaither, vocal, country, CCM and CCS and CUC. If there's any of those, none of it overrides the Word of God. And they get so offended because they are shallow Christians. The Bible says that they hunger and thirst after the Word of God. These are people who have been saved and entrusted the Lord. And then when the preaching of the Word of God and the teaching of the Word of God is presented to them, immediately, the Bible says there, immediately, they are offended. Why are they offended? Look what it says. Go back up. Five words. Persecution ariseth for what? The Word's sake. And immediately, they're offended. Are we a shallow Christian? Is it the fault of our teachers because we're not teaching doctrine and not growing people to receive the Word of God? Are we just carnal and we would rather have our teaching come by music than by the teaching of the Word of God? Then there's those thorny ground Christians. Those that hear the word, but there's thorns in their life. Look there in verse number 18. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word. So they hear it. They receive it. There's thorns all in their lives. Those thorns remind me of the fact that in the beginning when God created the heavens and the earth and in the 6 days of creation, He put everything in its place. Sister Barbara, there was no thorns.
Amen.
There was no thistles. Why did they come? Because of sin. Amen. Too many Christians live in a thorny life of sin. Walk around enjoying sin for a season. You can have your sin, but there comes sin with a cost. And sin will take you farther than you ever hoped you would go and keep you longer than you'd ever hoped to stay. It'll get to the point, dear friend, that it will choke out the hunger and thirst for the things of God. They heard it. That's what the Scripture says. These are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word. And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things enter in and choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter number 12, if you would. Not only is it sin, dear friend, but there's other things also that necessarily only known by themselves are not sinful. Hebrews chapter 12, the Bible says in verse 1, Hebrews 12 verse 1, wherefore speaking, we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every what? Weight and the sin, which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Sometimes it's not sinful activity. Sometimes we let the good things of life take priority over the things of God. And it chokes out the Word of God. I mean, just literally just chokes the life out of us. the deceitfulness of riches. Some of you chasing around money, working 2 or 3, 4, 5 jobs trying to get rich. Nothing wrong with riches. They kept in their places, but know this, riches take wings and fly away. Well, Brother Corin, how you doing tonight? You want to talk about something? You got such a subject. They're mad at me now. I can tell it. It's the Word of God, dear friend. And you know as well as I'm not standing up here innocent. I'm standing up here as guilty as you are. I have allowed things in my life that literally choke out my time in God's Word. And we can't do it. We can't allow that. We have to guard our lives. The hidden, the choked. Now, I'll be honest with you. I think these are the ones that are so easily, or even the stony ones, I'm not sure, but these are the Christians who are so easily led off astray into sin. One of the two. I'm not sure which one it is. Maybe even both. So we don't understand the destruction of sin. Well, sin's finished. Well, it kills. It destroys. We either have a hard, stony heart, or we just have so many things in our life that when we hear the Word of God, I mean, it's there, it gets into the ear, and then all of a sudden one of them thorns just grows around it, chokes it out. Thank God there's those good ground hearers. Verse 20, and these are they which are sown on good ground. Such as hear the word, receive it, and bring forth fruit. This is what God desires from us, that we would bring forth fruit. Remember, we went through Sunday morning last month and the month before that, the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is something that should be in our lives. We've got to work on it. The Bible says He's not chosen us. We didn't choose Him. He chose us and we might bring forth fruit that might remain. This is what God desires. We abide in the branch. And we're the vines, we will bring forth fruit. And I notice something here. There's some 30-fold, some 60, some 100. There's different levels of that fruit. Different walks of spirituality. And we as God's people need to be very careful that if we are one of those that bring forth 100-fold, that we don't condescend and look down on those that bring 30-fold. And we've got to be careful that we don't expect from a 2-year-old Christian the same as we expect of a 20-year-old Christian. And on the other hand, if we're a 20-year-old Christian, we don't need to be acting like a 2-year-old Christian. It's just that simple. Just plain simple math there, you know. If we had 20-year-olds running around our house, we wouldn't want them crawling around asking for a bottle. We'd want them to be helping out around the house and, you know, doing things that are mature 20-year-olds are supposed to do. Same thing, if I had a 2-year-old that wanted to go to college, I'd be, there's something wrong with this guy. He might have, honey, where'd he come from? You swap him out up there at the back, and, you know. Who was our mailman back then? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm just kidding. My wife, look, I had to break the ice because I was making mad. 4 different types of hearers. Which one are you? Father, we love you. We thank you for this day. Thank you for the book of Mark. God, we're so glad that we have opportunity to be a part of what you're doing in this community. God, if there's things in our life that's choking out your work, prune them. Pluck them out. If all hearts are stony and hard, take the Word of God, that hammer. Break apart that old stony ground. Help us, Lord, to be good hearers. Bring in forth fruit for your glory and your honor. In Jesus' name, amen.